Before we start the show today, I want to tell you about an awesome new product that I've been using. I have to get up super early when I come on to the Stephanie Miller show. Yeah.
Cry me a river.
There she is. And so I got this awesome product, Plexaderm. And you put a little bit of it under your eye and it makes your bags go away instantly.
Does. You know what? When I started using Plexaderm, Chris, this is when that tweet went out. Left of Left said, Stephanie Miller, in these chaotic, turbulent political times, I have only one question. Why and how is it that Stephanie always looks 35 years old?
It's
barely legal to be president. Thank you,
it's
Plexaderm.
Thank you, Plexaderm. Thank you for that plug. See for yourself. Watch a real video with real people and see how fast crow's feet wrinkles and under-eye bags disappear. Those results are backed up by Plexaderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to tryplexaderm.com and use coupon code SEXYLIBERAL for my discount. That's tryplexaderm.com with code SEXYLIBERAL or call 1-800-685-1292 and mention SEXYLIBERAL. Welcome to Amped Up with Proud Resistor. This is progressive activist Brian Knight.
And I'm Chris Lavoie of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And it's just me and you today, Chris.
Yeah, I know. And we've had, you know, had a rough weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, another tragedy, another avoidable tragedy.
Two tragedies.
Two.
Yeah.
And
so that makes three mass shootings in 1 week, if you count Gilroy.
It's we've become the mass shooting capital of the world.
Well, we have been the mass shooting capital of the world for a long time. This happens in no other country.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have a lone wolf here and there, like in Oslo or whatever, but you know, it doesn't happen every day. We've had more mass shootings than we've had days in the year this year.
It's another level. And this one especially. I mean, this was a white supremacist terrorist in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote an anti-immigrant manifesto and drove 10 hours to El Paso to specifically target brown people.
Yep.
And we need to stop normalizing these attacks. I mean, this is domestic terrorism, and it is being emboldened by Donald Trump. I wrote down a quote that Donald Trump made. He's made a few times, actually. And when he's talking about immigrants and he's talking about, you know, Mexicans coming up lawfully seeking asylum. I mean, that's one thing that this administration has completely tried to gloss over,
right?
Is that it's legal to seek asylum in America.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
In a port of entry.
Absolutely.
So Donald Trump says that we're talking about an invasion of our country. Right. He calls them invaders. Well, guess who else called them invaders? The El Paso terrorist.
Yeah.
In his manifesto, he said, in his manifesto that's been confirmed, he said, the El Paso terrorist said, this attack is a response to the Hispanic invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you've got a white supremacist terrorist using the same words in his manifesto that Trump uses to dehumanize migrants.
Yeah.
A direct connection. So we can't, I mean, this whole idea where you got people on cable news, you know, kind of insinuating that Trump, you know, incites violence. Like, no, Trump is inciting violence. You know, there was an article in The Guardian that I think was spot on. And the article is called Trump Inspired Terrorism.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're living. And it's like, you know, this first off, let's also be clear that white supremacist extremism is the number one cause of terrorism in America as far as deaths.
Absolutely.
Right. So this is from 2018. Domestic terrorism related killings in the U.S. By perpetrator affiliation. 78% of the domestic terrorism last year in America was from white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
16% was from anti-government extremism. 4% is what they call incel extremism, and 2%.
What's incel extremism?
Incel extremism, I think it's another form of kind of right wing extremism.
Okay.
It's incel, meaning like kind of, it's referring to a male,
okay.
Obviously. I don't know the exact definition.
Okay.
This is from the Anti-Defamation League. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is domestic Islamist extremism is only 2%.
Okay.
Right. So the number overwhelming majority of the deaths by terrorism in America are from white supremacists, 78%. And it just strikes me, like, if you want to stop white supremacist terrorism in America, it may be a good idea not to have a white supremacist in the Oval Office.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is that a fair point?
Yeah. But, you know, I hope we get rid of them. I hope we're able to get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is what struck me, what was different about this weekend attack in El Paso especially, is that for so long we kind of talk around the problem that we don't condemn white supremacist terrorism. And that's exactly what this was.
Right.
But you saw, like, within 2 hours of the attack, the number one trending thing on Twitter, and that matters, was white supremacist terrorism.
And
we have to call it what it is.
Right. And people like Beto O'Rourke came out and said,
yes,
the president is a white supremacist and he is a racist.
Yep.
And he wasn't the only presidential candidate.
No, and Elizabeth Warren, too, was very strong and condemned this as domestic terrorism and as white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to, you know, for too long, we haven't called it what it is. You know, we've been so focused in our politics, especially the right, on demonizing, you know, it's always the brown person. It's always the other. It's always the, you know, it's the immigrants, you know, and it's, we spent so much time demonizing that meanwhile that, you know, terrorism isn't coming on the caravan. Terrorism is homegrown and already here, living in our country,
right?
Being radicalized by right-wing propaganda and Fox News and the Republican Party. And yes, the president of the United States, you know, when we had that episode in Charlottesville, where he tried to equivocate and say that there were very fine people on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I grew up and the way I was raised, there is no such thing as a very fine neo-Nazi.
No.
As a very fine white supremacist.
No.
And you got to be really clear about that. This shouldn't even be a political issue, right? This should be good against evil.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a president that's normalizing evil and normalizing this kind of extremist ideology of white supremacy, like, this is not okay.
No, it's not okay. unfortunately, I think he's a symptom of what's going on in the country. There's a huge underbelly of white supremacism that, you know, had been tamped down because we told them it's not okay to say this.
Right.
But they've been awakened by the president, who said, yeah, it's okay to say it, and it's okay to run on it,
and
too.
It's okay to stand in the Oval Office and use racism and bigotry and hate to divide us.
Yeah.
You know, he just came out today and he made a statement, and it's like, his words are so hollow, right? Because if you're the person who's tearing our country apart, isn't going to be able to heal our country, right? He's the one that's taking the divisions that we've already had here, like you said, and the racism and the hate that's already been in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, you know, he's given it this, like, this jet fuel, and he's, you know, he's given it this shot.
Yeah, he's picking at the scab until it bleeds again.
And we don't want a president to be doing that. That's not what a president is supposed to be doing.
No, the president's supposed to be a consoler in chief. He doesn't have a consoling bone in his body.
Right. And
he doesn't have a caring bone in his body.
And as partisan as we've become, and everything is, you know, Republican versus Democrat, look, in the olden days, when you campaigned to become president of the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you became president, you weren't just president of Republicans.
Right.
You were president of all of America.
Exactly.
But Trump is the first president where Obama was the president of all Americans. What's so interesting is that there was a group of Americans, the Fox News contingent and the right wing contingent, that resisted him and unfairly criticized him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was those awful things. Remember, you even had like nooses hanging with his head, you know, down in the South.
And
I mean, you had so much hate valed at him, but still, he was their president.
Well,
and he always made sure to be the president of all Americans, unlike this president whose whole strategy is to divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Right. To use racism as a political weapon to divide us so he can for political power. So he can, you know, he's using it to kind of radicalize his white base and to get them to go out in droves to vote for him in 2020.
Yeah. And you know, right-wing pundits were always saying that Obama was dividing the country. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, how the hell did he divide the country? He was trying to bring the entire country together.
Yeah. Well, and when you see now with Trump, it's like, it's really clear.
That is division.
That is division.
Yes.
Really clear.
Absolutely.
Right? There's another word that I think that we need to kind of bring into the American vernacular, because you see it a little bit, but I think this is dead on, and it's called stochastic terrorism.
Okay, what is that?
And stochastic terrorism is the use of mass communications to incite lone wolves to carry out unpredictable violent acts. The stochastic terrorist is certain that his inflammatory rhetoric will stir up violence. He just does not know exactly what will happen or when or who will do it or where or when these acts of terrorism will be carried out. I mean, who does that definition fit?
Yeah.
It's Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump is a stochastic terrorist. Literally fits the definition of it.
We have a terrorist in the White House.
Who's inspiring these events.
Yeah.
And the other part is right after it happened, you had the Republicans go on, you know, Fox News and blame video games. Blame video games.
The lieutenant governor of Texas, who is inarguably the most powerful person in Texas, because the governor is just a figurehead in Texas.
Right.
The lieutenant governor has all the power in Texas. And he's the one who said that it's the video games that we need to look at. And by the way, that guy doesn't come from politics. He was a former right-wing talk show host. And so that's he uses the rhetoric of the right-wing talk show host and the right-wing pundits to rile up his base in Texas.
Yeah. And let's be clear, though. It's like 29 lives were lost this weekend. Mm-hmm. Actually, 30. I think 30 they just added one more. Yeah. And we do a disservice to their lives when we don't talk about the ugly truth of how these lives were lost, right?
Yeah.
Let's be clear. This is not a video game problem.
No.
This is not a mental illness problem. This is a gun problem. This is an NRA problem. Mm-hmm. This is a GOP problem.
Yeah.
This is a white supremacist terrorism problem. Mm-hmm. And this is a stochastic terrorist president problem.
Yeah.
Where you have a president who is inciting this hatred and this white supremacist ideology from the Oval Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very fine people. You know, he's giving them permission to hate. And when you know, and I think it's also important, you know, look, there are other countries in the world that have video games.
Japan is their
video game population of the world.
Exactly.
And they have, like, I think they have 10 people die a year from mass shootings. Like, nothing compared to how we are.
From gunfire, period.
Right, right.
10 people die.
And other countries in the world have mental illness.
Sure.
Right? But
mental illness has existed since the beginning of time.
But no country in the world has mass shootings like America has.
Right.
You know, and it's that combination of the white supremacist ideology plus the gun problem,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that the NRA, right,
mm-hmm.
won't allow the Republicans to vote on any common sense gun reform,
right.
because the Republican Party is bought and paid for by the NRA.
Absolutely.
And that you can go to their ratings. They all have A ratings from the NRA. And if a Republican votes for something like, look, universal background checks, that's not a partisan issue. 90% of Americans,
mm-hmm.
that means a lot, most of the Republicans support universal background checks.
Right.
Well, guess what? The House, the Democratic House, just passed this year a universal background check bill that will make it harder for these terrorists mm-hmm. to get access to these weapons, right?
How did it do in the Senate, though?
There you go. It's sitting on the graveyard.
Exactly.
Moscow Mitch will not take the bill to a vote.
Yep.
And it's actually, there are people calling him Moscow Mitch, yes, because he's blocking, you know, a bill to protect our election securities, mm-hmm. right, from Russian interference. But now Massacre Mitch is trending on Twitter, too, because he's blocking legislation for universal background checks.
Despite having a fractured shoulder.
Yeah. Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
You know,
too
it's
bad.
Like,
as the president said in his tweet last week, too bad.
Yeah. When Elijah Cummings' house was robbed.
Exactly. Too bad.
But that's where we are in America, that we're not even living in a democracy when 90% of Americans support universal background checks, but we can't even get a vote on it in the Senate because Mitch McConnell is stopping it. That's not democracy. And I think this is a really important point that the American people need to understand. The Republican Party is anti-democratic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe, you know, when you get elected to go to Congress, you're supposed to represent the people.
Yeah.
But they don't, when they get elected to Congress, they don't represent the people in their states. And they don't represent what the majority of the American people want. They represent a radical right-wing agenda,
mm-hmm.
which is whatever the NRA wants, you know, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's anti-science. It's anti-climate. You know, they're not going to vote on anything that has to do with climate change. You know, we had the Green New Deal. And what did they do? They were mocking it.
Yeah.
You know, they mocked Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for the Green New Deal instead of actually putting out a climate plan. What's your plan, Republicans? Guess what? They don't have a climate plan.
No, they don't just believe like, in climate change.
They don't have a gun violence plan. Their plan is to just let all these weapons go in and have no, you know, common sense gun reform on
right.
it. You know, they don't have... They don't have a healthcare plan.
Right.
they're in the courts right now trying to take away healthcare, you know, trying to repeal Obamacare in the courts.
Yeah.
So it's like we are living in a time where it's not even divided government. It's that we have one party that is bought and paid for by the NRA and by special interest groups that are preventing bills from being voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Bills that the American people want that are going to keep America safe.
Right.
That's kind of where we are in our politics.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing's going to get done until, you know, the people rise up and we vote these Republicans out of office and we vote this president out of office. You know, I think another thing that's important to point out, the NRA gave Trump $20 million in 2016.
Yeah.
Right. And so
a lot of it Russian money.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, because the Kremlin has been feeding in, you know, money to the NRA
yep.
for a long time. But so when you have, you know, the president, he can pressure Congress to vote on common sense gun reform. He can pressure Mitch McConnell to vote mm-hmm. on the universal background check bill. But Donald Trump won't.
That ain't gonna happen.
Why? Because not only did the NRA give him $20 million in 2016, he's counting on the NRA in 2020
absolutely.
To put that $20 million back in.
He needs it.
So he can get reelected.
Even Karl Rove this morning said that the president missed an opportunity when he spoke from the Oval Office this morning. By not bringing up extended background checks.
Yeah, something.
Even Karl Rove.
Right, and I just we got to get away from this idea that like this is a both sides issue or this is a partisan issue. No, Democrats overwhelmingly support gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats overwhelmingly support healthcare. You know, Democrats overwhelmingly support action on climate change. This is one party that is anti-democratic and trying to block real change from happening in America. You know, and that's when these things happen and Trump is inciting these horrible atrocities, we have to hold him accountable. You know, it's that old phrase that sunlight is the best disinfectant.
That's right.
You know, for so long, Trump has been able to kind of operate and get away with this, you know, and to use this kind of racist rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And these white supremacists have been able to kind of have this ideology and not be shamed for it. Like, we need to shame. We need to make these white supremacists uncomfortable in America.
Right.
Right? When you have an ideology that believes in cleansing other ethnicities, that's what they believe. You know, there's some of these white supremacist groups, they believe in racial cleansing.
Yeah.
You know, when you have this hateful, evil ideology, it has to be condemned.
Yeah, it's like we're back to the 1930s again.
It's
creepy.
And it has to be condemned. You know, it's like, just like trickle-down economics doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
trickle-down racism doesn't work.
No.
That's what we have right now in the Oval Office. You know, the racism is trickling down from the White House
yep.
because we don't have a president who can unequivocally condemn, you know, white supremacist terrorism. And
he's
still
incapable.
Hasn't done it. He hasn't said those words. He said white supremacy today, but he didn't say white supremacist terrorism.
Yeah.
And we need to call it out.
Yep.
We need to push these radical people back into their extremes, you know. I remember a time when the Republican Party wasn't this radical. I mean, they've always kind of had it on the fringes.
Yeah.
But like when you look at a man like John McCain.
Yeah.
You know, I disagree with a lot of John McCain's policies. But John McCain, you know, a good example of this is when John McCain was running for president and someone called Obama
an Arab.
An Arab.
Yeah.
And John McCain
said, no, he's a good family man, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, Arabs can't be good family men, but whatever, he did correct
the woman.
But
he said he's a good man. I had disagreements with him.
Right.
But he's a good man.
Right.
And would Trump do that now?
No.
No.
Oh, hell no.
And
not
so
with Stephen Miller in his White House. Stephen Miller is feeding him all these lines.
Right.
That's exactly who's doing all
totally.
This.
Totally. But that's the thing. It's like the Republican Party chose, right? They were the party of John McCain. They chose to be the party of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So they don't get to, they get no free pass here.
Nope.
You know, and you just saw there's eight Republicans now that are retiring and not running for reelection.
Four of them in Texas.
Well, and there was a GOP fundraiser told CNN Of course, spoke on condition of anonymity because they don't have the courage to kind of put their name to it.
They don't have the huevos.
But they said that that these Republicans are retiring because they're tired of defending the shit show.
Yeah.
Literally, tired of defending the shit show. But here's my head says, hold on a second here. Like, what a cowardly move that rather than staying...
Condemn the shit show.
And while you're in, while you're elected.
While you're in office and you still have a microphone in front of you every minute of the day.
Thank you. And that's why these Republicans are such cowards and they're so spineless. Instead of staying and fighting for their party... They've allowed Trump to take over their party.
Absolutely.
They are their own people. They could have stood up to this man. They've had so many opportunities to.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of staying and fighting for their Republican Party, they're retiring because they're tired of defending the shit show. I mean, that is pure cowardice.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it'll be cowardly when they, you know, finally condemn the shit show once they're out of office and they're safe.
Well, Paul Ryan just tried to do that in his book.
Yes, he did.
He's literally trying to profit off the fact that he's a coward.
Yeah.
That he couldn't condemn him while he was Speaker of the House.
And he was ineffectual against the policies that Trump was introducing.
100%. And now he's out, and now he's going to try to, like, save his reputation. Like, no.
No, there's nothing to save. Yeah, go back to Janesville.
Yeah.
Go work at the Janesville Friendlies.
Real quick, while we have a moment, I have to tell you about this awesome new product, Plexaderm.
Yes.
Actually, I caught my boyfriend trying to use it. You know, they give us this product to test out.
Yeah.
What this stuff does is if you have to get up early in the morning, if you have, you know, if you have an event you're getting ready for, you take a little bit of it and you put it underneath your eyes, under each eye, and it literally gets rid of the bags. Like the dark circles.
Right.
Within 2 minutes.
Huh.
It's incredible. I've been using it for about a month now.
And you look very young.
I feel younger than ever. So see for yourself. Watch a real video with real people and see how fast crow's feet, wrinkles, and under eye bags disappear. Those results are backed up by Plexaderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use coupon code SEXYLIBERAL for my discount. Again, that's tryplexiderm.com with code SEXYLIBERAL.
All right.
Yeah. So I just, again, like kind of bringing this conversation full circle.
Yep.
I mean, we're at a moment where we need to continue to call it out as it is.
Yeah.
You know, when these events happen, this is white supremacist terrorism.
Absolutely.
You know, because if we don't condemn it, we know Trump's not going to condemn it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is they are literally trying to divide our nation. To, you know, he wants to kind of play to his base. And then when a tragedy like this happens, right, when his hateful ideology becomes a terrorist attack, he wants to kind of wipe his hands clean and blame video games and mental illness, which, I mean, we got to talk about that too for a second. I mean, there are millions of Americans who battle mental illness
in
this country.
Yeah.
And to conflate mental illness with white supremacist terrorism, I mean, that is unacceptable.
It's completely. You know, I have taken, medications for bipolar or whatever in the past.
Depression.
I've never wanted to go out and shoot someone up.
Right. Well, and when you look at the statistics, people with mental illness are the ones who are more likely to be targeted by gun violence than to commit this stuff.
Exactly.
So, but again, because the Republican Party is bought and paid for by the NRA, and they know that if they call this what it is, and if they talk about the gun problem we have, that they will have to stand up to the NRA, and they don't want to.
Right.
Right? They would rather scapegoat people who have mental illness, and they would rather blame video games, which is just absurd.
It's insane.
And what will happen is more people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't tackle the root of this problem,
like
we've had, 240 mass shootings?
Yeah. Probably going to have a couple more this week.
I mean, that's where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beyond.
Yep.
We haven't even buried the bodies yet, and we hadn't even buried the bodies from El Paso, and there was a mass shooting 12 hours later.
Yeah.
In Dayton, Ohio, and it's I think we've all kind of become numb to it because it's so dark, but it's like, you know, we have to fight back, and you know the kids from Parkland give me so much hope. I think they've given so many people hope. You know, I think after the Sandy Hook tragedy, there was a lot of people who said, well, look, if Congress isn't going to act and do something about the gun violence epidemic when little children are murdered, then nothing will do it. But I will say, after Parkland, those kids stood up and they showed us that it doesn't matter about the NRA. It doesn't matter about the Republican Party. It doesn't matter about Donald Trump. If you stand up and you organize and you fight for democracy, democracy still has power, mm-hmm. right? We the people, as it says in the Constitution,
that's right.
we have power. And I think we need to continue to understand that the Republican Party went on issues like gun violence, on issues like the environment, you know, on issues like healthcare, they're not with the people.
Right.
The Democratic Party is. And you know, there's that old expression, Chris, is that people don't change their behavior unless there's consequences for their behavior.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been real consequences on the Republicans because they've been able to kind of use this propaganda.
Yep.
Well, and they've been able to kind of, you know, blame both sides, and they've been able to try to blame Democrats, and they've been really good at kind of using propaganda to get themselves out of these messes, yep. right?
Absolutely.
But there's no propaganda. Like, we need to put consequences on the Republican Party or they won't change their platform. And what I mean by that, we need in 2020, we need to vote out every Republican in every seat, right? We need, because if the Republicans, if there are political consequences for this, if mm-hmm. they're finally, like if we can get a Republic, like we have right now, we have a Democratic House. Mm-hmm. If in 2020 we can get a Democratic House, we can get a Democratic Senate and a Democrat in the White House, that will start to
affect real change.
Because there'll be consequences
yeah.
for the Republicans' complicity on gun violence mm-hmm. and on the environment and on healthcare. If there's finally consequences, they're going to be forced to change their behavior and to change their platform. But if Americans keep giving the Republican Party a free pass, the Republican Party is going to keep acting like this.
That's right.
They're going to keep behaving this way. And we have to say enough is enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, too, where it's like, you know, I got some Republicans in my family. But I have conversations with them. And look, when I enter a room, people, you know, I always say shame looks down because they know about my activism.
Yeah.
You know, they know kind of what I've been, what I did after Trump got elected. Yeah.
And they know, you know, your shit.
And so, you know, their eyes go straight to the ground. You know, they don't want to look at
me. They don't want to engage.
They don't want to engage. But I engage with them. And it's important for all of us. Like this whole idea that, like, you know, we shouldn't talk about politics. Mm-hmm. BS. Because politics is, look what it's doing to our country right now. We need to talk, have yeah. those uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how change happens. When you have those kind of uncomfortable conversations, I've had them with family members mm-hmm. and they, you know, they've said, look, you bring up a lot of good points that I need to think about, you know, and we, you know, when you can kind of take the emotion out of it and just lay the facts at their hand
yeah.
and kind of, you know, you can clearly see right now in American politics, the truth is not on the Republican Party's side. And that is why the Republican Party is constantly trying to lie and cover up the truth.
Right.
Because the truth is the most damning thing for this president.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And for this Republican Party. You know, and so yeah, you know, it does call on us. It calls on us to get involved. It calls on us to, you know, whoever your favorite Democratic candidate for president is, to get involved in their campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and then after the Democratic primary, we all have to get on board,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just what it looks like, because our opponent, right, they are lockstep behind their leader.
Yeah.
They are lockstep behind the NRA. They don't want any change when it comes. They're fine with these mass shootings. You know, what are they
addicted to the NRA's money.
What do they have to offer after these mass shootings? Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
That's yeah. it, Chris.
And they don't want us to bring up, politicize it until all the thoughts and prayers come in.
Yeah.
I'm sick of that. I'm so sick of that.
Well, 100%. Well, what ends up happening is by the time their thoughts and prayers, another mass shooting has happened.
And then we just keep repeating the cycle.
You need
to offer more thoughts and prayers before you bring up what we can do about
yeah.
it. And then the next one. And you never have a chance to talk about the concrete things that we can do to stop these mass shootings.
Well, and what I still find so hypocritical about the evangelical right, I grew up in a religious family. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned in my little Catholic school is faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Right? So these thoughts and prayers without works, without action behind the thoughts and prayers, they're meaningless.
Right.
And these lives that we lost, they're in vain if we don't take a step. You know, Mitch McConnell needs to come back right now from recess
mm-hmm.
and he needs to vote on this universal background check.
Yeah.
In fact, I am urging all of our listeners,
put that shoulder in a sling, hobble on up to
the Senate. Bring him back in and vote on that universal background check bill that is supported by 90% of the American people. Yeah. Everyone listening right now, call your senators. Tell them that you want the universal background check, that you want them to pressure Mitch McConnell to take a vote on the universal background check.
Right.
You know, we need to keep, you know, Mitch McConnell was, I guess, really uncomfortable, actually, last week when he was called Moscow Mitch.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's now taking this really personally.
Yeah.
Look, good. That we need to keep ramping up the political pressure,
mm-hmm.
because if Mitch McConnell is going to continue to not vote on election security and not vote on you know, the universal background check, we need to have political pressure until it becomes so overwhelming that he will take it to a vote.
That's right.
That's what we have on our side. We have to use all the power that we have,
yep.
you know.
And we the people have all the power.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want to live in a country like this anymore.
No.
You know, it's so deflating.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I have hope, and I wouldn't be, you know, in the fight if I didn't have hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to remember that, like, you know, Donald Trump and the GOP, they want us to kind of surrender, right? They want us to give in.
They're counting on us.
They're counting on us to surrender, and we cannot submit, you know? So that's number one. Like, we are stronger together. We are, you know, our unity is our strength. You know, I think the Democratic Party, we're having a healthy debate right now, mm-hmm. whether we want to be a more moderate party or more liberal party. And that's a healthy debate. But remember that after the primary, we are the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
That we will come together and we will defeat this man in the Oval Office. You know, I think that we need to keep raising these issues. I think that this shooting has taught us that we need to, every candidate like Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren has been doing, is we need to denounce white supremacist terrorism. I think the candidates need to raise this issue in their platforms more. Mm-hmm. I think this needs to be a huge part of the conversation going forward. Again, because sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. And while Trump is giving, you know, emboldening these white supremacists, we have to condemn it.
Absolutely.
So again, I think that, you know, I'm absolutely devastated by what happened this weekend.
Yep.
But
it feels like things are changing. I hope so.
They have to.
The conversation, at least on TV among the punditry, seems to have changed. Even on Fox News a little bit. It seems to have nudged a little to, let's get a handle on this situation.
Well, I think they realize if they don't, I think it's going to be a bloodbath in 2020. I think that we are going to vote them out in numbers like they've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think we need to, it is discouraging. It is, there's days I don't want to fight, but like now is the time. Like, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know that old phrase? It's always darkest before the dawn. And I think that we're seeing a lot of just the consequences of having a white supremacist in the Oval Office.
Yep. Yep.
And if we want to stop white supremacy in our country, the best way we can do that is by voting out the white supremacist in chief in 2020.
Absolutely.
So, good. I think, you know, we'll be back next week with a great episode, and we'll have a guest next week.
Yes, we'll have a guest, and you're going to be off in the sunshine.
I'm taking a little hiatus. We're going to Florida with my partner. It's his birthday, and awesome. We're going to go see his mom. His mom just had surgery.
Okay.
So we're going to go, you know, do the family stuff.
Yeah.
But you know me, I'll be in the fight.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm in this fight till the end. We have got to take our country back from...
Yep. And you'll be back here on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network next week with a brand new show.
Absolutely. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. And if you want to continue the conversation on Twitter, you can use the hashtag AmpedUp.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.